Powered from the Perdomo Cigar Studios on the Red Stage in Indian Trail, North Carolina, and broadcasting from down under outside Brisbane, Australia, it's episode 25 of the Primetime Jukebox. Tonight, we celebrate all Christmas music with our very special guest, Fred Rui. And as always, Primetime Jukebox is sponsored by Perdomo Cigars. Awarded Nicaraguan Cigar of the Year in 2014 by Cigar Journal, the Perdomo 20th Anniversary brand has consistently earned the highest scores in the industry and is a top seller in humidors around the world. The Perdomo 20th Anniversary blend requires tobaccos that have been carefully hand-selected and are well-aged for a minimum of 8 years. The Perdomo 20th Anniversary is offered in three distinct wrappers, a smooth, creamy Ecuadorian Connecticut, a rich, earthy Cuban seed Nicaraguan Sungrown, and a dark, oily Cuban seed Nicaraguan Maduro. Combining these beautifully bourbon barrel-aged wrappers with thick, high-priming binder and filler tobaccos gives each blend a balanced complexity with layers of rich flavors and smooth, elegant aromas. Perdomo Cigar is a family-owned and operated company headquartered in Miami, Florida, with manufacturing and agricultural facilities in Esteli, Nicaragua. Perdomo's highly acclaimed cigar brands include the Perdomo Estate Selección Vintage, the Perdomo Double Age 12-Year Vintage, the Perdomo 20th Anniversary, the Perdomo Reserve 10th Anniversary Line, Perdomo Habano Bourbon Outreach, Perdomo Lot 23, and many more. For great tasting notes and pairing information, check out the new Perdomo website at www.perdomocigars.com and buy Jerry Tobacco. The authentic Corojo leaf is one of the most robust and flavorful leaves out there. During the golden age of cigars in Cuba, it was a leaf of choice to make some of the world's greatest cigars. Because it is one of the most counting ones to cultivate, it fell out of favor by the 1990s. In the Hamastron Valley in Honduras, Julio Arroyo took on the challenge of growing Corojo from the original seeds, and in 2000, he successfully reintroduced authentic Corojo back to the market. With over 50 years' experience in the tobacco business, from growing and curing tobacco to cigar production, the Jerry Tobacco Farm has been able to continue to deliver products to market with authentic Corojo. Now, Jerry Tobacco brings to you the Aladino line. It's available in a 100% authentic Corojo Puro, San Andres Maduro, Ecuadorian Connecticut Shade, Cameroon, or Habano wrapper that represent the golden age of cigars from 1947 to 1961. Now available at your local retailer, be sure to ask for Jerry Tobacco, a legacy that is tasted in every drawer. And finally, by Drew Estate. Check out and download the Drew Diplomat app for your mobile device. Keep up with everything going on Drew Estate. Experience the subculture that is the rebirth of cigars. It's available on iTunes and Google Play. For more information, check out www.drewdiplomat.com. And as always, all the live streaming for the Primetime Network of shows is sponsored exclusively by Drew Estate, as well as our California studios for the Thursday Primetime show. Well, welcome everybody. This is Primetime Jukebox episode 25. It's a December 2020 edition. This is Will Cooper. I am on the Red Stage here in Indian Trail, North Carolina at the Perdomo Studios. And I'm joined around the world, actually, by my friend and colleague, Mr. Dave Burke.
Hey, Coop. Thanks for that. Hey, it's good to see Fred. Fred, you got the Christmas tree and everything.
Yeah, we got Fred. I'm trying to represent. I don't know if I was on camera yet or not. So,
Yeah, we don't do the grid. I don't like the grid view. I hate the grid view because I think it's good for a herf, but for a show, I like the focus piece. I think it works better with that. So
That's a tip. That's pro tip right there, Dave. I mean, we're learning. Actually, Scoop has so many sponsors. I'm not even sure we have time left in the show. I'm not even sure.
That's
it. We only have one more after this.
It's a wrap, people. Pick one song. We got
Oh, man. No, it's all good. I mean, this is actually, we are starting year two tonight of the show.
That's right.
Yeah, we most certainly are. And like I said, this has been an annual tradition that came over from the old Cigar Jukebox, and we're continuing it tonight with the Christmas and holiday music show.
Nice. Yeah, I'm excited for Fred's because he's always got a great Christmas playlist going, so I'm excited to hear.
It was his playlist that was the total inspiration for bringing him on this year because it was so good.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah, it really was.
I'm excited this show has continued because I know when it looked like you were going to, stop doing the Dubox, I'm like, it's really one of the unique shows of our industry. I mean, a lot of guys have podcasts and there's a lot of good ones out there, but I mean, I always like the pairing and I don't know how many times I was on the show, but I mean, you always threw up some challenges there. You're just like, okay, here's a cigar and you got to pick songs to go with it. It was a fun process to go through.
Oh, I appreciate it. I remember the Christmas tree brings me back to one of the first interviews with Fred. I think you're at some cigar show and there was a fireplace in the background. So it was like Fred's fireside chats.
Oh, wow.
Chats.
Wow. Nice. Yeah, this is outside. So this tree is like now, I don't know, it's got to be about 8 feet tall. My grandmother gave it to me like 5 years ago, or no, probably almost 10 years ago. And I was like this big, like one of the ones you buy like at a grocery store. And it was like a housewarming gift. And now it's huge. So now it's still in the patio in a giant pot. Now the pot keeps getting bigger, but we throw Christmas lights on it at night. So it's kind of fun.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, well, it's good ambiance.
Mm-hmm.
I love Christmas. Wait,
I've got a hat too. I don't know how Christmas spirit we needed to be, but I'm like, wow.
Ready.
There we go. Oh, there we go. Oh,
there's the thumbnail. There's the thumbnail.
Coop, there's the right thumbnail. There. Yeah, I know. Absolutely, yeah. Oh no, that's awesome. And Fred, you actually just got back from like an epic road trip. I mean, like when I said just got back, you were on the road for months.
We did 8,000 miles. Yeah, 8,000 miles. So it was Florida up to Michigan, Wisconsin, Montana, Washington, Idaho, down into Moab, and then Santa Fe and Durango, and down into Texas, and then back over. So we just, decided to, you know, we have an off-road camper, so we just decided to go, and we had a great time. It was a good year for it, you know. I mean, never was real hot on traveling as much, you know, via airplanes and everything. And we're used to being out of the country. My wife and I go out of the country every year, or, you know, or try to, usually for extended stays for like 3-4 months. And this year was just not the year that you could really jump out of a plane and go anywhere. So it was interesting. It was fun. Nobody killed each other. So that was good. It was interesting. It was fun. I got to see parks that I hadn't been to, like in Montana and stuff, like Glacier Park. I'd never been to Glacier Park, and that was gorgeous. Moab, I had never been to Moab. Matter of fact, I didn't know Moab wasn't a park. I thought Moab was a park. It's not. It's a city that's surrounded by major parks. So that was a learning experience. And my daughter knows everything. She lives in Salt Lake, so she knows everything in that area. So she's like going to campsites via GPS, because we could go off-road with the Jeep and the trailer. So we could literally go off-road, and you're just on BLM land, Bureau of Land Management land. So you can just drive out in the middle of nowhere. Well, pretty much like all of Australia. So, I mean, you know what I'm talking about.
Dave. Right.
That's right. I love it. Fantastic.
Now, how did you, what were you doing for cigars? I mean, did you stock up on enough for this trip?
No, I thought I did. And then we ended up staying a little bit longer in Washington State. We had rented a place on a lake, and then, you know, we tried to get it longer. They wouldn't give it to us. And then we got all the way down to the wire, and I knew they didn't have it rented. So we kind of made an offer. So we stayed another 4 weeks. But short answer is I was buying some from some shops along the way. Just if I wanted to shop, I was kind of supporting the shops. But I literally called a distributor I know, and I'm like, dude, I need a drop shipment. I'm like, not. So he drop shipped me, I think, 8 boxes or 10 boxes of cigars. And by the time I got home, I think I had 3.5 of them left over.
Wow.
So, you know, there was a lot of cigar smoking time out there.
Yeah. And you came back through the Southern Tier, and it's actually a pretty good run of cigar stores. You can go through that Southern Tier of the U.S.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
so
for sure.
You'll have
for
no
sure.
problem.
I'm,
with
I
it.
Love
yeah.
Texas. Yeah, Texas has got some great lounges, some great people down there too. But yeah, the whole Southern Tier is really good.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's a few in New Mexico. I remember I had to get an altitude lighter in New Mexico.
Because
lighters I took stopped working 1 year. Yeah, so I did that in New Mexico. So yeah, there's some good things there. But no, we're excited to have you on tonight, Fred, for sure.
I'm excited to be here.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. Why don't we, before we get into the housekeeping, Dave, let's talk about what we're smoking tonight.
Yeah, so this Coop sent this over in honor of Christmas. It's the Viaje Holiday Blend.
The 2019 edition I had to send. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So these are a year old. And I sent this to Dave months ago because of how long it takes for the mail to get there. So I said, Dave, I think I sent you a couple, and I said, Dave, you got to save one for the show.
And I did.
Yeah,
which
you
is,
did.
Which is rare for me.
Yeah, it's good because, yeah, the 2020s haven't shipped yet. So we would have had them for, you know, we had a work off last year. So, I mean, I'll probably get the 2020s like I did and save them for next year as well.
Did you have this new coupe? Did you have one like when they were originally released? Like, I'm just trying to figure out what the difference is because I haven't.
Okay.
I had it now.
A little of the history with this blend. I had it new. It's one of the bolder blends that Viaje makes. So it's actually not a mild blend by any means. But they hadn't. What happened is the holiday blend, it was something that was being released. They were working with the Aganorsa Leaf folks for a while, and then that was Andre. Then he moved it into the Dominican Republic for a few releases out of PDR. And last year is the first one that's come back, and it's that Nicaraguan based one that he's making. He hasn't talked much about the blend of, as of late, but it's, I believe it's this Criollo wrapper he's using, a dark Criollo wrapper, which has been the staple of it. So it's kind, it's definitely a throwback to the older holiday blends that have been released at Christmas time. So I've already, I actually smoked another one today before the show because I wanted to kind of, and I'll kind of give you some notes on it. But yeah, I did smoke one when it was out, and they were pretty strong.
Right, so because I mean I'm having it now and it's a full cigar, but I wouldn't say it blows your head off or anything. So you the strength has gone down a lot. In your
yeah, opinion. It definitely has gone down. That's what I was kind of say. It's kind of come to about a medium to medium plus right now. And I was like, some of the holiday blends smoke better than others. You'll find it depends on the vintage. So this one, I don't think it was the best one of the lot, but it certainly wasn't the worst one either. I think everyone thinks the original 2009 is the best one that's come out. But it's a Robusto size. He also does a barber pole called the Candy Cane, which is coming back out this year. Yeah. Now, I think I mentioned on the green room, I am doing a pairing tonight with mine. And I'm going to pair it with not a beverage, but with food. I have a genuine McRib sandwich in honor of our guest.
Oh God.
Mr. Fred Rui. and here's the thing I got to say about Fred. If folks probably already know, he is a McRib expert. Okay. In his book. Okay. So long and thanks for all the bacon. Great book. Great book because it's like Fred's random thoughts, right? He's got a whole chapter. Well, it's your chapter on the McRib.
Yeah.
And Fred, you make one of, like, you make a point in there, right? Which is spot on. You either like the, you either love the McRib or you hate the McRib. There is no in between. There is no in between with that.
No one's in the middle. If you ask anybody about the McRib, it is either like, oh my God, it's McRib season, or they're like, oh, that is the grossest thing I've ever had in my life.
There's no Bear, you can't call during primetime jukebox. We're recording.
Oh, what is going on?
Bear. Come
on. Go ahead, Fred. I'm sorry. I mean, yeah, you're 100% right.
No. So, yeah, there's no middle ground. I mean, look, I don't have delusions of grandeur that this is some great culinary masterpiece that someone puts together. I got that it's pressed pork. I got that they make it look fake, that they put it in a brick to make little riblets in there that aren't even really in there.
Right.
I understand that. I also, you know, look at it and go, you know what? It's pork, it's barbecue sauce, it's which isn't very good. It's pickles and onions, and it's just perfect for what it is. I'm not judging. This is 2020 is not the time to judge a product. You know,
exactly.
If you're out there, you're longstanding, you know, so I like it. You know, it's only available once a year. And that actually is very much affected by the pork pricing going down around this time of year. So that's why the McRib is out now, because the cost of pork for them to produce it is much less. It's why it's not a year long thing. And how long it runs depends on what they went into the season with the pork prices. So there's a fun fact for you.
I did not know that.
It's a guilty pleasure for me. And I used to have one a long time ago. I would have like several of them, like every week I'd be getting a couple times a week. Now in a season, I might order it, maybe three times.
But you've in the past, like, this is a different release because it's come out a little later in the year this year. So it's you.
It has come out later. Yep.
And it's a national release, which you, I know, in Orlando have sometimes not been able to get a McRib in the Orlando area.
We did. Yeah. Florida opted out about 3 years ago. So I may or may not know somebody that got on a plane and flew to Atlanta to have a McRib and fly back. I'm just hypothetically speaking. So yeah, they opted out 1 year. So they call it a national release. I think they get, you know, I mean, obviously a franchise can turn it down, but it's pretty rare when you got that advertising dollar behind you.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it was a national release. It is a little bit later this year, which made me wonder what the pork prices were that they did that, or if that was a strategic move because they knew the retailers were not going to be as busy during the holidays. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what, and you know, I don't know how long it'll be here. I haven't heard that yet either. But you know, it's different, you know.
Yeah, no, I think it is. And, you know, I remember that. I mean, you remember when these came out? This was considered one of the big busts of all time of fast food sandwiches.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's right up there with the McDLT, which had the hot side hot.
I remember two
side. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, but somehow this thing built up a cult following in the 90s, I guess, and it's now, you know. But like you said in the book, you either love it or you hate it. There's no in between with that.
I've never met anybody that's had one. So, it's okay. I mean, that just doesn't.
It's not like you said. I know one of my sons tried one for the first time, and he says, "I'm not eating it again. It's just not my thing." So yeah, and
they have them. They just released them here like this week, so it's an international now because it's just And I appreciate. What Fred said is key. It's making it look like there's actual ribs in there.
Right.
That's commitment. That is commitment to your sandwich.
And we would not put up with that with any other food. But for some reason on the McRib, it's okay.
Right, right.
Commitment to the sandwich.
Yeah, but you know, it doesn't have like the filet of fish is covered with breading, right? So you can't see that's not real fish in there.
Right. I do think, and I haven't found out yet, but I actually had the McRib when it came out. I think it's thinner. I think it's about 5 millimeters thinner than it was before. So that was something I've been trying to find. I have to find out.
I remember I heard you talking about that on Hacking Gourmet. I've been meaning to do some validation on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll have to find out as we.
So now you're going to double up on those, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Like a McRib Big Mac.
Yep.
You know, it's funny because we're talking the McRib and not to change the subject on that, but it's along the same theme. So this is the first time I actually, it was yesterday, the day before, I had a Popeye's chicken sandwich because I was never in that Chick-fil-A Popeye's. So I actually, for the first one, went out and got it. And I'm like, that's okay. I think
it's okay. Yeah, that's how I put it.
Yeah. I think I go to Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I was just going to ask, what are you smoking for? Yeah, I'll just ask.
So in honor of the holiday season, which I tend to bring these out, I have the Añejo Shark. Which is my favorite of the Fuente line, really. So when the holidays come out and then once I acquire them, which I just did about 4 or 5 days ago, I lay those down and I'm basically run 2 years behind.
Yeah.
So that's smoking what is essentially 2 years behind. I'll take a handful out during the year. I tend to smoke them real heavy around the holidays because I enjoy them around the holidays. During the year, I might have 3 or 4, but I don't have too many of them. And I kind of hoard them because they're tough to get. Last year was pretty tough. And then this year, even from what I understand, possibly even a much lower production based on some of the retailers that I've talked to.
This year has been a very tough year to get Fuente product for whatever reason. It seems like it's been harder this year. For sure.
Yeah, and not just sharks. I mean,
no, not just sharks. Exactly.
Across the board. But this is one of my. This is probably my favorite Fuente. You know, when people talk about do the reviews and they've got all these flavors and they're like currants and you know the dry draw had this and stuff like that. Like the current. This is one of the only cigars I get that on the dry draw. And the other ones, I don't get all those flavors. I don't get chicken soup. I don't get gummy bears. I don't get cranberries from the southern side of the mountain picked in May. I mean, I just don't get that. I get tobacco and I get the 7 different senses of it. So, but this is always a very unique cigar for me. And so it's kind of my holiday go-to. I tend to have several around the holidays.
Awesome. Yeah. I mean, I'm on a 2-year cycle too. And I used to do a 1-year cycle, but I was sick a few years ago. So everything now is on the 2-year cycle. I buy them and it's for, it goes into the rotation.
And that's not to say that they have to lay down. I mean, I usually smoke one from that. I don't think that. I mean, look. I mean, if any cigars laid down for quite a while, it's this one. You know, so I mean, they're smokable the second you get them. I don't know that they're any better laying them down a year and two years later. I think they're the same either way. So I don't think you have to lay them down by any means. I only do that because I'm hoarding them.
Yeah. Well, I know we're going to get into, as we go through, Dave and I will talk a little about, we'll talk about our smokes, but I just did do a little bit of a draw and a bite of the McRib sandwich, which I have not paired this cigar with the McRib before. And it is pretty good, actually.
Oh, nice.
The sweet barbecue sauce and a little of the sweetness I'm getting from this blend actually pair very nicely. So that was a good sign. Like, I was a little concerned how this was going to go.
So now you've had the McRib before, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right, good.
Yeah. These McRibs, I don't know. I know we're talking a lot about McRib, but Fred's on, right? Yeah. I don't know, but this year, McDonald's seems to be making the McRibs like look nicer. Like, there's been years where they've slapped these McRibs together and they don't look nice. This year, they've all been presentable. This one, like, I had warming for a while, so that's why it looked the way it did. But they just seem more presentable this year.
I have bought McRibs that I swear were assembled in the box.
Right, exactly.
Like, you make the sandwich and you put it in the box. I had some that literally, like, someone threw in both pieces of bread, then they opened it up, threw in the pickles. I mean, right. I've had sauce everywhere.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're absolutely right. Actually, last year, the one here, they didn't have the McRib boxes. So they were like stuffing them into like a Big Mac box or something like that. I'm like, this is the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
Wow. I mean, that's the whole thing.
Or no, they were I'm sorry. They were throwing it into a chicken McNugget box, I think is what it was. But yeah, sometimes it's just like, you know, I mean, I got that. I mean, they pre-selected me. I'm not in the highest in the gene pool if I'm walking in there and ordering a McRib. I know that. So they know they don't have to dazzle me with an appearance that looks good. But sometimes they're just throwing it in.
I agree with you, Fred, on that 1,000%. I agree with you 1,000%.
Someone's in the back. Can you swear on the show?
Yes.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, swear someone's in the back just going, fuck it. They're ordering a McRib. They can give a shit what it looks like. You know, I mean, that's just what they're doing. And they're not wrong.
No.
Exactly. Oh, man. All right. So a couple of housekeeping notes. First up, Cigar Jukebox. Dave, you started your countdown of the top 50 songs.
Yeah, countdown. Top 50 of 2020. Countdown has started.
Yeah. So you want to tune in. Dave, when does the countdown wind up?
So what I'm trying to do is release – going 5-song blocks every Monday and Friday, U.S. time, leading up to Jukebox show in the new year, where I'll talk about the top five. So the goal is to release the top five when we release the Jukebox show, so it lines up.
Yeah, and at least on my calendar, unlike the cigar calendar, which I think you need to give things to acclimate, there are a couple of late contenders on my list this year, musically, that have come out. I did a cutoff date as well, because I mean, but so I'm looking at like the end of, I think I went the end of November with mine.
All right.
But we could standardize on that when we do that show. So yeah, you definitely want to tune in, for, you know, that, that's going to be a fun show. You know, Dave, a lot of stuff has been dropping overnight while you've been sleeping, right? So I don't think you went to bed the other night, and I want to say it was Thursday night, Wednesday, Thursday, and you woke up the next morning and found out that Taylor Swift was dropping a new album.
I know.
That was
how great is that?
So I like watching local news from other cities when I'm working at home. You can watch it on Pluto TV. So I had the Los Angeles news on for some reason, because they're 3 hours back, and they were like, broke the news on that. I then broke the news. That's why I heard it. Like, Taylor Swift is dropping an album at midnight tonight. I'm like, Dave does not know about this. Like, cause it was breaking. It was like a breaking news thing they did.
Oh yeah. It's a great album too. She says it's sort of like the follow-up to Folklore, but it sounds to me like it was songs that just didn't make the original record that she made another record with, and then did a couple feature songs. So
yeah,
I would think on that record, I think maybe the feature songs are new and the other ones were tracks that just didn't make the original.
Yep.
But it's an amazing record.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, she put it out like 5 months since the first one. That's insane.
I haven't heard it yet. And you know, so Taylor Swift, when she came on the market and actually ever since, she's somebody that I'm like, I don't want to like her. I really don't. And so then I'll be in the car and a song comes on, I'm like, this is a really good song. And then I look at the little SiriusXM thing, it's Taylor Swift. I'm like, God damn it, it's Taylor Swift. And I'm already into it. I already like the song.
Right, exactly. I'm kind of like that, Fred. Yeah.
She's kind of like, so, and this is a bad comparison, but I find her very authentic in her songs. And you know, so normally when you have a musician, you, and the classic one I always go to is like, you know, there's pain. They're going through something in their life. The classic one is, you know, we talked about this before, Alanis Morissette, Jagged Little Pill, obviously a bad time in her life. And that pain becomes really good music if they're able to pour it in there. So I look at artists that are able to do that over time. And Taylor Swift seems to do that based on whatever's going on in her life. The only other artist I can think of as far as female that does that is Pink, definitely does that. Pink has her life is in a song, whatever she's going through, the pain, the blood, the guts, the gore, whatever it is, she's out there. And I really respect that. And I think that's the only way you can have a run like that. You go over to males, you look at like Elton John, you know, you have these artists that can put out a killer song every 5 years because they're authentic and they're putting out there what it's real as opposed to phoning it in. And I think, you know, I think she does a good job at that.
And you know, Fred, we've seen this year, like doing the Jukebox Show, we're following a lot of stuff. A lot of the artists who have been like quarantined and with COVID, they've gone back to a lot of the stuff they've been writing over the years and they've gotten re-inspired and it's bringing back maybe emotions with some of the things going on there. So they're kind of, you know, Stevie Wonder's done it. Paul McCartney's been doing it, revisiting this stuff and then just kind of polishing it up and putting that emotional spin of what's going on right now. So we're seeing a very good creative period of music this year as a result. I think as a result, the music coming out is actually very good this year.
No, it's good. And I was very excited about that.
Yep.
And you have other music news on here, Coop, which is interesting, contrasted to Taylor Swift, which is the Bob Dylan news.
Yeah, the Bob Dylan news.
Yeah, that's crazy.
This is big news. I mean, so Bob Dylan has sold his songwriting catalog for the Universal Music Group for $300 million. And that's everything from 1962 up until this year. So you tend to see that happening. You tend to see artists do that at some point in their careers. You know, others have done that. And, you know, Bob's obviously looking maybe towards the end right now, but he's still, I think, contractual. I think still he's got a partnership going with stuff where he still is going to get, he'll do other stuff and still get more money on top of that. But that's a big, you know, like people could say they hate Bob Dylan, right? But when it comes to that songwriting catalog, that's a powerful body of work in there. And that's what you got to keep in mind, the songwriting thing. And for him to sell it, that's a huge amount of money.
Yeah. I mean, what's interesting about it, and maybe it's because of where he is in his career, but like we just talked about Taylor Swift, and she's going out of her way to get ownership of her songs. So like she's going to try to re-record albums to get the ownership back from the record labels that she was getting exploited with a deal she had.
Yeah.
So it's just interesting that a lot of the newer artists are really fighting to own their music, and Dylan just sold all of it. And so it's sort of like two different, and it's interesting too with Dylan because he's had so many lawsuits in the past over his music to then give control away from. I mean, I guess like where he is in his career, $300 million is hard to turn down.
I would have thought maybe he would pass it over to Jacob at that point and let Jacob have it.
It's interesting.
Yeah, maybe Jacob wanted the cash instead when Bob goes.
I don't know. I mean, it's just interesting because historically, when bands sell their music, it never goes well. Like, I mean, I think that when the Beatles sold it, some of their stuff like that did not go well. Like, it doesn't go well usually. But I mean, maybe, you know, maybe he doesn't care. Maybe he's at the end of his career, end of his life. It doesn't bother him. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I was thinking about the Beatles sold a little earlier in their careers. And Dylan's in his 70s now is the difference. But the Beatles sold, you know, I think they were in their 40s when they sold it.
What's going to get Bob, well, he's got all the money, which is fine. But what's going to get him is like if his song ends up, you know, on like – Depends commercials or something, you know, like, I mean,
right.
He has no control over that. And it, you know, we'll see in the next couple of years if any of his music is used in ways he doesn't agree with and he has no say anymore. So it'd be interesting if that happens.
Very true. Very true. And then the last note, and this was another thing that happened while you were sleeping, Dave, and this is some very sad news. And people may not think of this person maybe as one of the big names, but Charlie Pride passed away at the age of 86 due to COVID-19. And Charlie Pride, I look at him, he was a lot like the Jackie Robinson of the country music world. You look at what he did. He was a former baseball player who eventually at the end of his career, he started singing before games, got noticed, and eventually got a recording contract. But he had a monster career. I mean, from 1966 to 87, he had 52 top 10 country songs, 30 of which made it to number one. And from what I heard, he is the second biggest, RCA was his label, second biggest selling artist of all time on RCA behind Elvis. Which is big. He was inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame in 2000. The other thing that was really interesting, he had just did a performance at the CMA Music Awards where he got a Lifetime Achievement Award a month ago. And he looked great. I mean, he looked great. He sounded great. And so this was some shocking news right now. I know on our next show, we're going to be doing a tribute to a lot of the and celebrating the life of a lot of these great musicians. So I know we'll be doing more, but my favorite song from Charlie Pride was "Is Anyone Going to San Antonio?" That's my favorite song of his. I've always loved that song ever since I was younger. And "Kiss an Angel Good Morning" is the one he's probably most known for. But he's got a really good catalog of music too. If you're a country music fan, this is a big loss.
And we're celebrating a birthday as well.
Yeah, well, this is airing on the 14th, right? But we're recording this on the 12th, and it is the 105th birthday of Frank Sinatra. So happy birthday, Frank.
Happy birthday.
Yeah.
Appreciate the
McRib. We actually, on the Old Stogie Geeks, we did the 100th birthday show on the Old Stogie Geeks for Frank. We did do that once. We were doing the show on his 100th birthday, actually. So we did that. All right. But we have a lot of good stuff. And tonight's theme is Christmas music right now. And we're going to get into we're going to do our Christmas music. We're going to do some gift ideas. And then we're going to do some of our favorite tracks there.
So, Fred, kick us off. What are some Christmas music you like, or what do you look? What are
the type of music?
So I have a tendency to go either I'm kind of more traditional, but modern singers to it. So I stumbled on two actually CDs by accident, actually three total, and they were compilations put together by retail stores. And that was a hot thing for a while where a retail store would contract with the artist, and they're actually pretty good. So, I should have researched to see if you could go get these, cause I'm not even sure you can just like go online and get them, but you could probably go look up the playlist at the worst case scenario and then create your own playlist. So the first one was two CDs actually, were Victoria's Secret, the lingerie store. And so they have a Christmas Eve CD and they have a Christmas Day CD, and they're both different. And they're both very good. It's whoever created the collection is very good. And then also Pottery Barn of all places put together a really good compilation, and I can look them up because they're on my phone and tell you the songs that are on there and the artists that are on there, but those were really solid. So there's this battle in my house, not a battle in my house, but there's basically this like, okay, we're going to listen to the traditional music or we're going to listen to Dad's List. And so Dad's List is pretty much, I just put it on Spotify, I think last year, finally. I'm not really on Spotify. Matter of fact, the other night I tried to play my own list on Spotify and I don't have premium. I have premium like everything else. And it's like, I don't need another subscription. And I'm like, holy crap, how many commercials can you play between a song? Like I've heard the Pandora, like I'll be in a cigar shop and they're playing Pandora and a commercial come on, and it's usually one commercial, it's usually Geico. And I'm just like, dude, I'll give you the $5, get Pandora premium, what the hell? But Spotify's like, it was probably like five commercials in a row. So that would annoy the hell out of me. So I either play the traditional or I launch into my list, which I've created, which is probably about, it's about 2 hours worth. It's almost exactly 2 hours of just a variety of songs from different bands. I have a tendency sometimes to add one or two a year if I come across them. But for the most part, that's what I listen to.
I just got to say, if you have a shopping day and you go to Victoria's Secret and Pottery Barn, like that's a good day. That's a full.
Well, that
day
was
right
a long
there.
Time ago. I mean, that was literally a long time ago. I'm gonna look it up because I actually play. Okay, so I have them right here. So Victoria's Secret Christmas Eve.
Let's go.
Okay, so it's Santa Baby, Eartha Kitt, Baby's nice. Cold Outside, Tom Jones with Cirrus Matthews, Someone Happy, Seal, I'll Be Home for Christmas, Michael Bublé. What do you do in New Year's? Stacey Orrico, Merry Christmas, Otis Redding, Winter nice. Snow, Isaac Hayes, Footprints, Bare Naked Ladies, Feel Like Christmas, Cyndi Lauper, I've Got Love to Keep Me, Dean Martin, Christmas Time, The Darkness, and Backdoor Santa Jet, which I thought is a really wild one to throw in there.
Oh, yeah. Backdoor Santa.
And then
is
so
amazing.
Victoria's Secret Christmas Morning CD was Happy Christmas, John Lennon, The War Is Over. Lonely Without You, Mick Jagger and Joss Stone. Peace with Norah Jones. Winter Wonderland, Tony Bennett. Someday at Christmas, Rima Zero. I Want an Alien for Christmas, Fountains of Wayne. Everyone's Waiting for Brian Setzer Orchestra. My right. Christmas Simple Plan, Jingle Bell, Sammy Davis Jr. Merry Little Christmas, Tyler Hilton. Christmas Time, Smashing Pumpkins. And Little Saint Nick, Beach Boys. Both those were solid compliments.
Really are. Yeah, absolutely.
Also, yeah. And so I just stumbled on them. The Pottery Barn one is a little bit more obscure, but very high energy. And I won't bother reading that. But there's, you know, bands like Big Voodoo Daddy, Duke Ellington's on there, Squirrel Nut Zippers, which is at Hot Christmas, which is a great song. So those three are like, if you got to have music going on in the house and stuff like that, but you don't want to, like, you know, freak people out, like with my list, those are three solid compilation CDs that somebody put together that are tough to beat, in my opinion.
Nice.
That's really good.
Oh,
That's excellent. Yeah. I mean, I like that as well. Go figure, Victoria's Secret. And they did a good job with that even day. It really did. They actually keep to that.
Yeah, and I don't even remember how I ended up with them. I think I just bought something there, and then it came with it, or they had them on sale at the counter. I don't even remember how I stumbled on them.
That was the big 90s, 2000s thing, like the store compilations and the magazine compilations, where like Rolling Stone would have a compilation CD with them. Yeah.
Well, and I was really into alternative music, and, you know, so for a while radio stations would do it, and they would do it right around Christmas. And so I remember living in the Pacific Northwest, and it was Live 105, The Peak, and they did it like 3 years in a row, and they were good compilations. Now, I have a feeling what happened was is they weren't just licensed to that station. It was like a CD that like every station got to put their name on it. How it went down. It had to be that, because there's no way these people got all the, you know, these albums, but they were good at the time. But like I said, the Victoria's Secret, the two Victoria's Secret ones, and I don't know if there's more, those are the only two that I've ever seen. And the Pottery Barn, solid music for playing around the house for holidays.
Nice. How about you, Coop? What do you like in a holiday track?
Okay, so I have this like matrix system I kind of look at, right? I know it's kind of, but I'll kind of this.
Of course you do.
Right. So I look at style and I look at setting, okay? So the style is divided into three areas. There's traditional, right? Where you just, that's traditional music. The songs have been around forever. You don't really identify it with a particular artist or anything like that. They're classics. You know the words by heart and you listen to them once a year. Then there's covers, which are the same type of music covered by artists you really like. And then there's the original stuff, like the stuff that's written from scratch, right? And I've been getting more and more into that over the last few years, finding more of the original tracks. I found that really fun. But there's two scenarios that I have to like kind of have in my head on Christmas music. And they both kind of take me back. So one is the snowy urban city street, like, the week before Christmas, if it snows the week before Christmas in New York, there's nothing like it in the world in Manhattan. I mean, this year obviously is a different story, but that city setting, it's 7 or 8 o'clock at night. You're getting closer to Christmas Eve. there's something in the air is all I could say. It's pretty magical when you're in a big city like that. Then there's the other side of the spectrum. When I was living in the Catskill Mountains in New York for a while, that snowy, it's snowing a lot. You have this fireplace on. It's kind of got that rustic feel to it. It's the complete opposite of that. But I love that extreme. It's as well, which I kind of get a little more of that now lately in North Carolina. So I look at my songs and I look at those styles and I map them to both of those settings. And that when I can do that, and as I go through my songs, you'll see some of that tonight.
Where's the other setting of like, hey, it snowed early in October and we're fucking for this and the snow's like gray from everybody driving around. Where's that gritty set? I want to see that category of music.
I'm gonna touch on that, Fred. I mean, a lot of what you guys said, I kind of have four categories that I like. You all talked about the classics, both like pop classics and like your, you know, Dean Martin and stuff like that. I like the classic Christmas songs. Christmas carols is another one. I love like your old school Christmas carols. I love that. I love it. I love Christmas carols. The third category, indie and pop Christmas, I call it. So that's like, you know, M. Ward or somebody will just do some random Christmas song, or like Jet just does a Christmas, like, you know, it's just taking a swing. It's an original song about Christmas. I really like that. And my last one, to Fred's gray snow scenario, is I love Christmas songs about heartache and suffering. I love that.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I don't know why, but I love a good Christmas song about how terrible Christmas is. I don't know why. I love it.
So like St. Stephen's Day Murders, Elvis Costello, that kind of thing?
Yeah, or like Fairy Tale of New York is like a prime example. You know, when they're talking about it's Christmas Eve in the drunk tank, it's like how the song starts.
Yeah.
So all that, and I'll touch all those on my song list. But that's your gray snow, oil, car oil and gasoline.
I like it. That's real. It's real.
Yeah. All right, I can say it is a real one. Yeah, I definitely don't have that aspect of mine, but there it is. Dave, you nailed it.
I'm there. But yeah, so we thought we'd do gifts as well, because, you know, a lot of people really like to listen to the Christmas show between now and like Christmas Eve, and then sort of like they'll listen to it on Christmas Day and then it's over. So we'd like to do a bit of gifts, you know?
Yep.
So if you're looking out there, so we're going to do a little Santa jukebox.
Yep.
Starting off, well, we'll start off with Fred. He looks like Santa jukebox.
He looks like Santa jukebox. Yeah.
So we'll start off gifts for the cigar lover. So Fred, you know, if you got a cigar lover, if, you know, friend or family member, spouse, husband or wife, like what would be some good gifts?
I mean, what kind of budget are we talking here? I mean, okay, so I'll cover the gamut. I mean, look, I think a nice travel humidor is always good. I think something that you know, a small square kind of rectangle one that you can get, five or six, you know, sticks minimum in. I think one of the worst ones, you're dealing with an actual real cigar smoker. I shouldn't say worst ones because somebody probably already bought this for somebody, but it's like the tube that holds like two. If you're a hardcore cigar smoker, that's really cool. But bottom line is you've got more cigars than two.
Yeah.
So you really need one that holds like, you know, 5 to 8 cigars, you know, but it's still good looking, you know, it's got, you know, it's leather bound or something like that. I saw Davidoff just came out with an Avo. They were doing a promotion recently with the Avo that had a nice kind of faux ostrich one that looked pretty cool. That's good. We're talking high end. For me, I think the ST DuPont single flame lighter is one of the best lighters you can ever buy.
Oh yeah.
As far as the ability to touch up, I've had mine I have a backup one that I've never used that I bought brand new. I've had it for probably 15 years and they're bulletproof. Wow. So I think that's a solid one. I think it's tough to buy cutters for people unless you know what kind of cutter they want. But I think a good travel humidor, you know, is, you know, something they can have, is always a good one. I tend to, I'll tell you one really good one. If you've got a golfer, you know, everybody buys the really giant clip that goes on there, but there is one, they sent it to me a couple of years ago and I bought them and given away. There's one called a Stage 5 Clinger. It's just two little prongs. And it's got magnets and you can put it right on the golf cart. But oh, wow. whatever cigar you put in there, you can just, it just barely has enough tension to hold on to it without messing it up. You can just pop it on. It holds a cigar, but you don't have to do anything. You don't have to like put a clip on there to put it on there or anything like that. That's a solid, and that's like $15 on Amazon. You can find it. That's a solid gift for a cigar smoker if you know they're a golfer. And I guess you could put the magnet on something else too, but it's predominantly meant for golfing. But that's a solid gift for $15 for somebody if you know they're a golfer.
Nice.
Yeah, okay, awesome.
I went travel humidor too. Like, you can never go wrong. I have a Zycar one that I really like. I think it holds like 10,
yeah,
15.
That's a solid one. Yeah.
And those are solid. And like, you can go various prices on, you know, what you want to get. That's always a good one. And even if they already have a travel humidoir, I mean, no one has enough travel humidors. So you can, you know, you'll be fine. I think too, like, if they like cigars, but you don't know exactly which ones, you don't know what to get. A lot of places have like Cigar of the Month clubs, like Stogie Bird, Cigar Hustler has one. I think Smoke Inn has one, I think.
Yeah, they do.
Those are always good because you know they're going to get good cigars. So to get a subscription to that, is you can do that online really quickly, and that's a good one. And then I just put like cigar swag. Like, if you know what brand they like, some hats, a nice shirt, you know, ashtray, can't go wrong with that stuff. So that golf one sounds great.
Yeah, it really does.
It's a really, really good product. I was really impressed with it. I'm not big on the ashtray giving. You know, everybody tends to have what ashtrays they like. So, I mean, yeah, that's a tough one. But, you know, it's tough to buy cigars for somebody if you don't know what they smoke. You really almost have to go in. If you're going into a cigar shop and you're like, I'm going to buy a cigar for my boss, yeah, or I'm going to buy a cigar for somebody that I don't know what they smoke, you almost have to go higher end. You really got to pick something. So I actually was in, I can't remember where I was in a shop one time, it was around the holidays. And, you know, I imagine that's an awkward question for the retailer when somebody comes in and go, I got to buy cigars for my boss and stuff like that. And I thought that the merchant at the time, and it was a woman, and she phrased it perfect. She said, cause you know, you don't know what their budget is. And she said, look, are you looking for something that's kind of an everyday smoke? Are you looking for something that they wouldn't normally buy for themselves? And I thought that was a good way to put it, because it was an opportunity. She said, well, I want something he wouldn't normally buy for himself. I was like, okay, let's go look at, you know, Padrones. Let's go look at the Davidoffs or something like that and just get a couple of those. It's tough to buy cigars for those people. Like I said, Cigar a Month Club, that's a great, great call, because they're going to get a variety. But if you don't know what somebody smokes, you're going to go in there and try and buy cigars for them. Man, good luck.
Yeah. What you got, Santa Coop?
I got three things. So I'm on the humidor end as well, but I didn't go travel humidor. I went the opposite. And I went, and I'm recommending an electronic cigar cooler humidor. There's one in particular. It's made by a company called Audu. I think it's right. Audu, I'm saying it right. Audew. But I'll put it in the notes. And this was recommended to me by Brian Glenn of Cigar Obsession. He had reviewed it. And this thing is, what this is it provides temperature control, which, believe it or not, is really important at certain times of the year, you know, especially if you're away for a couple of weeks and you don't want to run your air conditioner, you know, things like that. Or if you have a room where the heat, it just heats up a lot, you can regulate the temperature between about 54 and 74 degrees Fahrenheit. And I wouldn't recommend using it in a garage or anything like that where you have no, you know, where it's just out there. But I'll tell you, I have this thing now for 4 months. It's worked fantastic, right? It maintains perfect humidity. You just put a couple of Boveda packs in there. So you get the big Boveda pack, you put them in there. And it's like, I mean, I haven't had to do anything with this thing. It's fantastic. It holds about 100. It says 150. I probably would say it's a little less than that. And they go for a little under $200. But if you're looking for, like I said, a really good like stand upright humidor, it's thin, so it's not very wide. And like I said, we'll have a link in the show description where Amazon's got them. So that's my first recommendation. I'm probably going to get another one of them. I'm so happy with it right now.
So Coop, let me ask you a question about that one, because this came up on another show that I was on recently. What happens if you lose power and the power comes back on? What temperature does it go to?
There's some insulation. That's a good question. I don't know specifically, but it's insulated enough where I think you'll be okay for a while.
So here's where I'm asking the question, because if they've solved this problem, right, this is what some of the other ones don't do. And if right, they haven't solved it, nobody has, and that's okay. But I've seen some that now what happens is when they lose power, they go down to 50 degrees. And right, and so if that one comes back on at your preset power after losing power, and it just goes out, comes back on and goes back to your preset, that would be very impressive, because I don't know if anybody solved that problem. Like I said, if
that's a good question. Yeah, I don't know the answer.
Everybody else.
Good question. It's a good question.
Unplug it, plug it back in and see what happens.
Yeah, I'm going to do that. It's a very, very good question there. Great point. But like I said, I'm happy I have one. It's been because I have a couple of areas of the house. It's just, you know, they're just, they, you know, with the zoning and everything, it just doesn't reach. So definitely, and there's other ones out there besides the one I mentioned too. So I'll do a little more research on that for sure as well.
I'm going to check it out, because at that price point, that's a killer price point.
It is a pro. And like I said, I've been very, it's perfect. I mean, I run it at 65% humidity. That's kind of what I like. And it's held the 65. I haven't had to do anything with this. I just had to do the initial seasoning and that was it. Huh. It's got Spanish cedar, you know, it's lined with Spanish cedar and all that. But, and it's what I like, it's narrow. So it's not very wide. So it's narrow and deep, but it's nice because it just doesn't take up a lot of surface area that way. All right. My second recommendation is a smoking jacket.
Oh, you know, I love this one. Love
yeah,
it.
I mean, you know, so there, you can find them at different price points and things like that. And, you know, I think it's a pretty cool thing. I think a smoking jacket's pretty cool. You know, I just think even when I'm smoking out here and I don't want to turn the heat on or something, it'd be nice to have the smoking jacket going here for morning smoke or something like that, as opposed to a dingy bathrobe. There's smoking jackets. You can find them like under $50 to some over $1,000. I mean, so, you know, you don't have to spend $1,000 to get a decent one. They're out on Amazon. I'll have a link to one that I saw that was pretty nice. And then the last one, and this is a really cool thing, is, and this is retail specific. Corona Cigars has put together these pairing tasting packages. Most of them are with the FSG brand, which is their cigar brand, maybe with the Florida Sungrown Tobacco. But there's different ones that they have out there where you could order the cigars, a spirit, and they throw some swag in with some of these too. So they have one like for Templeton Rye. They have one for Dalmore. There is a Freddie No, a Horse Soldier, a Patron. They just came out with a Highclere Castle one. And you can get, so they ship the liquor, the cigars, and the swag for you. And there's, again, different price points. And they're pretty aggressively packaged. If you tried buying this stuff on your own, you're going to pay more money. So I bought a few of these already, and they're great value. The cigars are great, the spirits are great, and some of the, you know, the swag's fun too. So there'll be a link out there if you want to go check out those from Corona Cigar.
Nice, that's a cool idea.
Yeah,
I like that. That was a good idea.
It is really good. Like I said, they do a good job with the pairings of it too. That's so the guys at Developing Palates have been hosting some shows with Corona Cigars. And some of these packages have actually been on their shows already where they've just kind of gone through them. So it's kind of a fun thing too. So you can always go back, watch the show and see how they paired it.
Now, I got the music lover section now. So I'll kick this off.
Yep.
So we got the cigar, but it's Cigar Jukebox. So if you love music as well. Now this one is very specific. If you have someone that likes vinyl, and either it's record player, they collect it, they love vinyl. I talk about this all the time. It's a service called Vinyl Me Please. And it's a record of the month. and they're all pressed in like colored vinyl, 180 gram. They 1 month you'll get, you know, Billie Holiday. The next month you'll get some 1970s Nigerian punk music. The next month you'll get like Outkast. It's like, it's crazy and I love it. So it's a great way, if you have someone that loves music and they're pretty eclectic and like vinyl, like they'll like, when am I gonna get Nigerian punk music? But I got it and I love it. And so it's just a lot of fun. If they ever are sending a record they already have, you can swap it out with another record. So if you have someone that likes records, it's a great gift. I got it for Father's Day 5 years ago. And now every Father's Day present, we just renew the subscription for another year. So it's a great one. If they like music, Third Man Records is a good site to go to. That's Jack White's site, but they sell everything from shirts to records to CDs to record players to guitar amps. They sell everything. So if they like music in general, that's a good sort of one-stop shop. Support your local indie record store, indie record label, like Milk Records here in Australia. Get some shirts. Everyone likes a good rock star shirt. Get a nice rock star shirt. Yeah, you know.
I totally need one of those shirts.
Yeah, especially with like COVID, like indie record stores and stuff are doing it tough. So if you can get a good like indie record store shirt around where you're at, it's always cool. And the last one is a good pair of wireless headphones.
Yes.
Like, I have Bose wireless headphones and I love them. I listened to a guy on ESPN, Bomani Jones, and he was talking about how expensive the headphones are, but you got to look at, like, if that's where you're consuming most of your music, it's almost like buying a stereo system, really. And so if you have someone that really likes headphones, a good pair of wireless noise-canceling headphones is amazing. And great. I got some Bose ones that I love, so Bose are really good. They're going to be a bit pricier. Like, they're going to be between $500 and, like, $800. But if they really like music, it's an excellent gift. I have wireless headphones like these, and then I have the earbuds as well, and they're amazing.
Yeah, I'm super into headphones. Like, every year or whatever, the latest and greatest is, I have a tendency. I'm curious to see how the Apple ones turn out over the year, because they've gone very aggressive price, and based on the components I've seen, drivers and everything else, I don't think they're gonna surpass the market that they're trying to go for, which is, you know, like Bose and stuff like that. If you're talking over the ear, it's tough to beat Bose. When you get into the earbud scenario and stuff, there's a lot of options. There's a lot of, you know, depending what you're looking for, B&O and some other ones, that there's some really good solid sounding ones. But over the ear, for a general, just, hey, I'm getting on a plane and stuff like that, a Bose over the ear noise cancellation, the Q35Is or whatever. I think they're under $500 here in the States. But they're solid headphones. Obviously you can go much higher. You start getting into triple and quad drivers and stuff like that, which may or may not be relevant to your hearing. What I'm finding interesting with technology on some of those are the ones that you can actually adjust.
Yeah.
That they have an app that runs you through a hearing test on what you're able to pitch, and it's able to create an equalizer format based on what you are not hearing certain pitches, and they can up just those pitches. And from what I've tested on some of those are very impressive. They're going to be higher dollar, start hearing stuff. You're like, you'll hear a song that you've listened to all your life, and you're like, I didn't know that. I never heard that, you know, in the background as much as whatever, what another instrument.
Yeah. They're great. I love them. And the other thing about it, is since they're Bluetooth, you can connect it up to different stuff, and you can be listening through vinyl through them or through your phone, or they're great. You got some music stuff, Fred? Any stuff for the music lover?
You know, I really do. I mean, I would have went headphones. I would have said, you know, I mean, you know, it's funny is that when you're young and you know, I've learned as I got older, it's like, don't go for the cheapest.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Sometimes you can find value and stuff like that. But I don't know when I first started on headphones and stuff, like, I'm buying like these, I don't want to spend that much, so I'll get this set instead. Or I don't want to buy that, I'll get this set instead. And you know what? You'll just save yourself money in the long run if you're really going to go down that path. Just pony up the money. If you can get a really good set, if you can't afford it, you know what? You know, get an inexpensive set and then save up and get a good set, because it makes a big difference. And everybody on the show, we're like that. I mean, like, we're really into music. We listen to a lot of music, and being able to hear it fully makes a big difference. And so I would say, you know, I would have went the headset route, as far as, you know, take a look at what you're getting. And there's some great brands that have lower end stuff. There's a million different Kickstarter ones that come on, and you just don't know what you're going to get, if it's going to be good or not. But the tried and true brands that have been out there for a while, that's, like I said, I'm curious to test out the Apple ones, to see how they are. I have a feeling I would be shocked if they're anywhere near what Bose can pull off for less dollars. I think Apple's just kind of leveraging the brand. And as far as, you know, they went for form factor and swapping out the colors and stuff like that. I'll be shocked if they're anywhere. And based on their noise cancellation ability, which is similar to the way they've done the AirPod Pros, which is what I'm wearing tonight, I don't think they're going to come anywhere close to what the noise cancellation is on the Bose, but we'll see.
I mean, I think with the headphones, I think you have to think about it as if you're buying a stereo system or like a Sonos speaker.
I like that analogy. I think that's a really good analogy.
Yeah, because I mean, if you're going to be really listening to them, you want to, and if you get a good Sonos speaker, like, that's going to run you $300-$500 as well. So if you got to think of it in those terms, I think. Yeah. Coop, you got some good ones on here. I saw yours.
Yeah. So I kind of tried to think a little out of box, because this, excuse me, this is a big year for vinyl and headphones. There's no question about it. I'll kind of go a little out of order. I'll start with the first one is, you may want to look at, and I would say this is not for everybody, right? But I would say this is someone who likes music, but maybe not as hardcore, because I usually recommend a hardcore music person buy the components. But they have a lot of all-in-one music players right now that will play vinyl, cassette, CD, USB. You know, you can stream Bluetooth, you can record. So there's a bunch of these out there, and there's some really nice designs with them where, you know, they kind of have a retro style. And I have a couple that are linked in the notes here. There's one is by a company called Electrochrome, another one's by Music Trend. And like I said, they're reasonably priced, but I'm careful. I say be careful with those, because I mean, I've always liked having separate stereo components, because it's a little easier to upgrade it. But not every, that's separate stereo components aren't something for everybody, is what I'll say. So, you know, the all-in-one thing is really good. It's a lot of people have been able, you know, if you want to get a vinyl player, you might as well get a vinyl player that, you know, you can convert the music, you know, into a digital format as well. And these will do them for you. Again, they run about $150 average for them. But they're pretty nice. And I could see something for them. And a lot of them don't require like special software to do this either, which is nice. You could just put a USB stick in and you can rip your vinyl right onto there. So check that out. Uncommon Goods has a ticket stub diary, where it will allow you to store your ticket stubs from concerts and shows and put notes in there. And to me, I love collecting my ticket stubs over the years and really have a nice way to organize it and, you know, put some show notes in there. And this ticket stub diary is a nice way to do that. You know, I still like getting the old fashioned. I don't go to as many concerts anymore, but I even when things were going digital, I liked getting the tickets mailed to my house. I liked having the old style tickets from the Ticketmaster or whatever, or the venue. And, you know, I think there's some, you know, there's something to that saving it. And in the ticket stub diary, $14, it will hold 118 ticket stubs. You can get one or two of them and put your notes in there, certainly, with that. It's a pretty inexpensive gift for someone who's a music lover. You know, I have AC/DC Monopoly, okay? So, you know, Monopoly, they've done all these different themes over the years. And they came out with an AC/DC, the rock band theme Monopoly. And, you know, AC/DC is making a comeback this year. I think people get more into AC/DC. People are getting into board games this year with the pandemic and quarantine. There's a lot more board game things. So I think you've seen a little bit of a resurgence. So if someone's an AC/DC fan, you know, get them into Monopoly. And the AC/DC theme Monopoly is something that, you know, you can have a little fun with as well.
I heard a good argument on a podcast that they were arguing over the purest rock band ever. And they were all arguing back and forth. And the mic drop moment was literally said AC/DC. And then the guy's like, why? He says, they're the only band that's never done a ballad. And I'm like, that's fair.
That's fair. That's yeah. Fair. That's a yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I'm okay.
Yep. Yeah. And then the last thing I'll just say is, I'm not going to name it this specific, but, you know, actually, my wife and I this year, we decided not to exchange Christmas gifts. We're doing the charitable thing. And maybe a good idea is if you have a favorite artist and you go look at some of the charities they support and see if they align to what you're doing, and maybe make a charitable donation either for, on behalf of yourself or someone else for that. Always a great thing. And like I said, there's you should be able to find an artist and a charity you like if you want to go do that.
Nice.
Yep.
Well, I know we're not buying Bob Dylan music anymore.
No. Yeah. All right. I think we're going to get into songs next, Dave, but why don't we give an update on our smokes here?
I'm powering through. It's quite smooth. I mean, there's some spice on it that's a bit more in the background. It's got a good body to it. No, it's a good cigar. I like it.
Yeah, I'm getting a little of that cocoa coffee in the front there. My draw is a little tight on this cigar. It's tight. Yeah, compared to the others I've had, this one's definitely tighter. But it's not like plugged either. But like I said, smoking, it definitely lost some strains for sure. And like I said, I always like the holiday blends for the most part. They've been pretty solid.
How about you, Fred? How's yours going? How's your shark?
Dude, it's a shark. I mean, it's I mean, you know, it's funny is because people will sit there and, you know, argue price point over, and we've talked about it on shows before, you know, whether it's talking to Davidoff, and look, if it's not your blend, it's not your blend. And that's a different story, and that's okay. But when you start arguing price point of, you know, you like the blend, you say, well, Davidoff, or you say, you know, a high-end Fuente or a Padron or something like that, you're paying for a level of consistency that is bar none. Davidoff, certainly, nobody comes close to the level, I think, of quality control they have. Padron is definitely right in there. Fuente on the higher end stuff, definitely right there. This cigar, whether I have it this year, next year, or 10 years ago, or 10 years from now, it is going to be solid. That's the price you're paying for. So for me, you know, a Padron 64, if I'm going in, I've had a great steak meal, and I'm going to buy a cigar and stuff like that, it's like, I know that cigar is going to be perfect. I can count on one hand how many bad Padron 64s, and I wouldn't even need all my fingers as far as construction. The flavor would always be there, obviously. So, yeah, it's solid, and, you know, I've always enjoyed the cigar.
By the way, just a shameless plug. If you're watching the live premiere of this on the 14th, then you tune into Primetime Special Edition 90 on Tuesday, which is the 15th, Leanna Fuente will be our guest.
Ooh.
So you want to stay tuned for that.
A heavy hitter.
Yeah, no, it is. And if you're watching the recording, Leanna Fuente will be special edition number 90. You can get on your podcast catcher as well.
Yeah. So do you want to do this, just everybody kind of do one and go around? I had to put down about 7 songs that we can go through and just go around. And
yeah, we'll go around. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Kick us off, Fred.
What am I kicking off?
Your favorite Christmas
songs.
Songs, artists, traditional, however you want to make songs. Yep.
So I'm going to go off my playlist, which is on Spotify, though. So they are newer bands, classic songs. So the first one I'm probably going to go with, and man, it's tough between these two, but I'm actually going to go with Big Bad Voodoo Daddy's version of Mr. Heat Miser.
I was listening to that this week, and then you reminded me it was on the playlist.
Solid.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna completely go off, because I'm gonna say what I was torn between, because it's two. It is Big Bad Voodoo Daddy, Mr. Heat Miser. and it barely edges out Whirling Dervishes, You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch, which is also equally solid when you're talking about classic songs done by, you know, bands later.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Big Bad Voodoo Daddy is better than the original on Year Without a Santa Claus. I mean, it's that good a version of it. And you get the whole Snow Miser part and the heat. Like, people forget Mr. Snow Miser is actually the first part of that song.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's really well done. Really well done.
Nice. I like to go, I got some songs and Christmas movies. I'm a big Christmas movie guy. And so I have a song from one of my favorite Christmas movies, which is Nightmare Before Christmas. I love that movie. I watch it every year. Just watched it the other day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a great movie. Love it. And I picked the track What's This off of Nightmare Before Christmas. It's where Jack Skellington lands in the Christmas town. And like, I just love it. It's just fun. Fun Christmas song. So that's how I'll kick it off with that.
Nice. That's a good one, Dave.
Ooh, look. What do you got, Coop?
All right, so if you're listening, I'm probably gonna take some grief on a few of these, but I'm gonna just face the music. So I picked a very soft, romantic Christmas song, an original, to start off with, and it kind of goes to that set. It's kind of an original song in that setting of a snowy Christmas Eve, and it's Dan Fogelberg, Same Old Lang Syne. Yeah. It's actually a semi-autobiographical song about an old girlfriend he meets in a grocery store. I just love that song. It's a beautiful song. It's more of a seasonal song than a holiday, you know, related to Christmas. But it paints a really nice picture, and it's original. And I think it's starting to get to that point. You know, Dan's passed away for a while. It's starting to get to that point where it's starting to become classic. I think it's starting to get to that point where it's becoming a classic right now. I love it. I know it's a sappy song or everything like that, but I've always loved that song. It's told in a storytelling like fashion, which I also like with that.
Nice. Fred, number two off your list. What do we got?
I'm going to go with, and this is just one of the ones that it's just every time it comes on, everybody in the house just starts singing along with it. And I don't know why. It's an older song, but it's called We Wish You the Merriest, and it's Les Brown and his Band of Renown. And it's just one of those catchy, quirky, you flash back to a different era, but it's just a fun song.
It is.
I haven't heard that one up to listen. Nice. I'll be excited to hear that one.
That's on your playlist too, right, Fred? These are all on your playlist.
That one may not be on my playlist. Okay. That's actually a classic one. I'm not sure that's actually on my playlist.
Okay.
It should be.
Very nice.
I mean, mine are very uneventful, the next couple ones. I went with, Bing Crosby, White Christmas. I mean,
nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
From Holiday Inn soundtrack, classic. I just love it. I love decorating a tree while listening to that song. That song's incredible.
It's a beautiful song. I mean, it's an absolute classic. I mean, again, that's something that is a total classic right now. That has reached that classic status right now. And like you said, I don't know anyone who says that song sucks, you know?
No.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Coop.
So I picked, there's a Motown song. It's called What Christmas Means to Me. I actually picked the version by Paul Young, but it was originally a song, I think it was done by Stevie Wonder, and it's on the Very Special Christmas 2 album, which was some Christmas themed songs that they did, the Benefit Special Olympics. And the Paul Young version is really cool. It's kind of like one of those songs you can play while you're tree trimming and baking the cookies and wrapping the presents. It's an uplifting, it's just a very happy song, you know, kind of the opposite of that Dan Fogelberg, kind of that story, the love story. This is just a lighter version. And I love the Paul Young version of this. I think Stevie does a great job, but I think the Paul Young version is the best one I've heard. You know, so I always enjoy that song when it hits, when it's on, or when I play it off my playlist.
Nice. What do you got, Fred?
Bing Crosby and David Bowie, Little Drummer Boy.
Oh, yes!
That song's incredible.
It's just because it's cross generational with both of them singing it, and both their voices. Bowie, obviously was Bowie, but I mean, he never got enough credit for the duets and stuff that he chose. And to me, that one is one. It's just, it's Heart of Christmas, the song, but just the two of them together is just absolutely perfect.
And that Christmas, they did that on TV, that was a very famous Christmas special.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I remember when that was airing on TV.
That skit they do before they sing about like coming over and look at the, I love it.
Exactly.
That's
yeah.
The winner. Fred just won Christmas with that song.
That's a great pick.
Now this artist, I'm not comparing to David Bowie, so it's tough to go after that song, but it's Mariah Carey. And All I Want for Christmas Is You. I know everybody loves it. Some people hate it because it's played all the time, but I love it. That's a song, as soon as I hear it, I get in Christmas mode.
It's an original song too. And it's an original song. It's an original song. Yeah.
I'm conditioned.
One of my favorite movies is Love Actually, and that song's in there. So.
I love Love Actually.
Oh,
yeah. Love Actually doesn't get the credit of what a great Christmas movie that is. And that's got that whole urban vibe.
Ensemble class. Yeah. It's funny. It's got a great, it's got several different storylines that, some of them intertwine, some of them don't. But I mean, I love that movie.
And the whole thing about having a Christmas number one, I think we talked about this on last year's show. They incorporate the Christmas number one in England is a big deal to have the number one song of Christmas. And that plays into that movie as well.
Well, we haven't. I'm still speaking in number one. So I am still in Whamageddon. If you're not familiar with it, and some of the listeners may not be, so it's an annual thing that you've got Wham, which has their has their popular Christmas song. So there's a trend that started years ago called hashtag Whamageddon, and it's how long you can go into the Christmas season without hearing that song. And when you hear that song, you have to say I'm out hashtag Whamageddon. So I haven't heard it yet. I'm actually pretty, this is the longest I've ever gone. It's the 12th. It's the longest I've ever gone without that song. So, and it's not a song, by the way, I'd put on my list, but it's one of those ones that you're just kind of like, oh, okay. Yeah. It's kind of catchy.
Okay. Let me ask a question. Let me ask a question on this. Cause it's going to be very important. It's going to be important. Does it have to be the Wham version?
Yes.
Okay.
It does.
Okay.
Cause I heard one the other day that was not, and I'm just excited. No, it has to be the Wham version. All right.
Okay, because that's where I'm going with this. So my next song is Last Christmas, but it's not the Wham version.
Okay.
Which I think the Wham version gets a little unfairly bashed. I think it's a good song.
That's right, Coop.
It's an original. But Jimmy Eat World did a cover of this song.
Yes.
And in my opinion, they gave it a little more of a rock edge to it. They kind of made the song a little more complex from a melody standpoint. That's a great version of this song. And that's right. That should not count against this challenge if you've heard the Jimmy Eat World version of this song. It's very good.
That's funny because that's not on my main Spotify list, but it's on my other list. I'm surprised that I don't have it on there.
Yeah, I mean, that song's been around a while, that cover. I didn't realize. I started hearing it a couple of years ago, but I think it was about 10 years old already, that cover. If you were trying to do that, the songs, it was very much an 80s pop song when that came out. And look, it was an original song. I get it. But give it all that Jimmy World. They just fine tune it a little more, give it a little more of a rock edge. I think people will be surprised that's pretty, it's not a bad song. If you think it's overplayed, the Jimmy World version is not going to be one that's going to fall into that category.
All right, Fred, what do you got?
So this typically kicks off any of my lists when it's Christmas, and it's the Kinks' Father Christmas.
Oh, we talked about this one. That's what inspired this whole thing of having you on, was you including that song.
That's typically my, if any of my Christmas lists, that's the song that kicks it off.
Without a doubt.
Nice way to kick it off.
original song. Now, Dave, where would you categorize that song in your like categories?
That would have to be the original.
But is it the darker side? Is it the darker side of Christmas or not?
Absolutely, it has to be. Come on, give us your. We don't want toys. Give us your money.
All right, I'll give you that.
It was the bad Santa before there was bad Santa. I mean, it was like, you know.
Love it.
I love that song. I mean, it is an absolute classic too. Has anyone covered? I don't know if anyone's even covered that song. I don't think they can. It's so well done by the.
I don't know anybody that has.
Yeah.
I think you would. I went with Dolly Parton for the next one for me because you got Dolly has to make the show every show. Now she's done a number of Christmas albums. She did one with Kenny Rogers. I did the Dolly Parton song "Oh Little Town of Bethlehem," which is off of a '90s Christmas record she did because it's more sort of old. It's more sort of classic country with like mandolin, guitar, those sorts of things. The other Christmas records, she tends to fall into like cheesy synth and really bad like jazz guitar. And this avoids that, which I like. So yeah, I went with Dolly Parton and Old Little Town of Bethlehem.
Dave, have you listened to Holly Dolly Christmas yet?
I have.
Okay.
I like one song on there. It's not the best.
Did you catch the special, the Holly Dolly Christmas special?
No, I did not see the special.
I thought it was great. Okay. And here's the thing. I don't want to spoil too much of it. It's a stripped down version because of COVID. It's not an overly produced version. And I think it really had a lot of charm because it was, he has some guest musicians and stuff, but it's not this elaborate performance thing and it didn't need to be. And I think he pulled it off. I'll leave it up to you if you like the music or not, but I thought the production worked really well. And that just aired last Sunday.
I liked that Coop thought so much of it that he didn't want spoilers to the
Hey,
don't give anything away.
Well, he may not get to see because he can't. I don't think he can log on to CBS and look at it the way it's set up, unfortunately. Yeah. So that's why
there's a big twist.
He may not get to see it till like July. I was actually gonna try to screen copy it for you. I couldn't do it. It wasn't working. So
I gotta check that out.
Yeah.
All right, Coop. What do you got next here?
Oh, now this is a song that I'd want to be on stage doing the background vocals with this person. And it's Bryan Adams, Run Rudolph Run.
That's good.
Oh, he brings a great, that raspy voice, that high energy.
That's a good one.
And I just would love to be on there just doing some of the background vocals. But I love Bryan. That I think was on one of the very special Christmas albums as well. I love that song. Bryan Adams has done a few Christmas songs. He does Something About Christmas Time, which is, I think, his own words. But this Run Rudolph Run one is a fun song, high energy. Again, kind of a great spirit song as well. And like I said, if I ever get a chance to be background vocals on a song, I want to do it with that one.
Nice. I'd love that. Hey, if you're out there, sign Coop up, man.
Bryan, I'll tour for free. Because my voice can't be bad. And Bryan, I love his raspy vocals. I think that's always – I'm a big Bryan Adams guy, too. I've seen him many times in concert. I have almost every one of his albums. And to me, it's that – but I love that version of the song.
All right. Fred, number five.
Bob Ricci, Mrs. Claus.
Mm.
So it's the whole Mrs. Claus has got it going on.
What I love about Fred's list is it is the most unique list of he's got just these from all avenues.
That's why it's great. Fred's a hard act to follow though, because he'll bring that out. And like my next song is "Carol of the Bells." I can listen to that song any time of year. I love "Carol of the Bells." It's incredible.
Who is that?
So it's some choir in it's on the Home Alone soundtrack. It's an old an old carol. It's like some choir singing it in a church. It's got, oh, I just love that vibe. I love a good old carol sung in a church by a choir. I love it. I can't get enough of it. And Carol of the Bells is like my favorite.
Beautiful.
It's an epic song. Coop. Oh, I see your next one, Coop. I'm very excited to hear about this.
Going back to the Dolly Diana war, I had to get Diana Ross in there. And you know, she's got some Christmas songs out there. And the one I picked was one that she does with the London Symphony Orchestra, and it's a medley of Sleigh Ride and Jingle Bells. Really well done. Again, I think her voice with the orchestra in the background. You talk about, again, female artists who show a lot of emotion. That's something I've always said Diana Ross does a good job with. You really kind of get into the whole spirit. She brings a very traditional vibe to those traditional songs, combined with the Symphony Orchestra. It's kind of bringing the best of both worlds. It's kind of like going back to those scenarios. The urban setting kind of reminds me of the orchestra. And then Diana just bringing a very traditional voice to those traditional songs, you know, kind of the rural piece. So I love that one. And she's beautiful, beautiful rendition of that.
Nice. Yeah, no, that. Symphony orchestras and musicians are great combinations, I reckon. So that's
they really are, especially, you know, there's a lot of good live, like at some point when we do another live music show, a lot of artists have actually brought in orchestras to do live concerts with. And there's some really, like, you know, there's some really good stuff. I've seen the Moody Blues do it. Toto's done it. And it provides a whole other type of live performance.
All right, Fred, we're nearing the end. Number six.
How many am I picking?
Seven.
Oh, okay. I'm going to go Hot Christmas, Squirrel Nut Zippers.
Yeah, you had that before. There's a I like
that one. Yeah,
Christmas you have got going.
Yeah,
good Christmas.
Good one. That's a good one. Yeah, I like that one.
I love that. Bit of a swing Christmas. All right. So now it's time for Heartache and Suffering.
I was wondering when that was gonna happen.
Oh, I love it. So this is gonna come up in the new Music 45 as well, but it's Merle Haggard. And it's the track's called If We Make It Through December. And that's on his 74 record. And it's about, like, I think he loses his job in it. And it's like, they're not going to have money for a good Christmas. But it's all about this hope of, we can just make it through December. You know, then, you know, it's a new life. It's a new year. We can build it back up again. So it's a bit of this, like, storytelling of hardship, but also the hope of, like, if we can make it through this, then we can kind of do anything.
It's kind of very appropriate for 2020 too.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Very much so. And it's just a great, I just like that side of Christmas. I don't know. It's a good balance, I guess, to all the, like, the other stuff, but yeah, Merle Haggard putting it out. What do you got here, Coop?
I just fact checked something. But I'm going to wait till the next song to tell you the fact check, because I want to save that song for last. I fact checked the Father Christmas thing while we were talking. The next one is, this is kind of a new, again, it's a more contemporary song. It's been covered by a lot of artists, but I love U2's version of this song, and it's Christmas, Please Come Home. There's something about, like, Bono on those vocals there. It's the most raw emotion part of that. It's very believable. To me, I think that's the best version I've heard of that song. And I know some people have been on the fence about that, as you know how good a U2 Christmas song is. I really, really like it. It will always, like, when it comes on the radio, I'll make sure I keep it on for the whole song. And certainly one that's on my playlist as well.
Nice. No, good pick. So how are you going to close this out here, Fred?
Well, I mean, there's no sense. I already did, you know, Bowie and Bing Crosby, so I don't have to go too traditional anymore. So I'm going to finish with I Want an Alien for Christmas, Fountains of Wayne.
I have to hear that song. I haven't heard that song.
That's a nice one.
That's like the best Christmas title ever.
Yeah, exactly.
It's exact, and the song is exactly what it is. He wants an alien for Christmas. He doesn't want anything else, you know. And he talks about how he's going to take care of it, and how, you know, when the winter's over, he'll take him for walks. I mean, it's, you know, it's just, it's like I said, I've already, I got Bing Crosby and David Bowie. Anything else on my list doesn't have to go traditional.
Oh, love it. I'm ending out with the sort of indie side category. Soufan Stevens put out, that's like a 4-disc thing, Songs for Christmas, it's called. And it's a great mix of like originals and him doing classic carols. It's extremely good Christmas record. And the track I have is Sister Winter, which is a, you know, just a kind of original Christmas song, but the album in general is a great Christmas album. And Sister Winter is a great, song. Right. I love Christmas songs that reference Christmas in the song. And he sings like, he sings about having a Merry Christmas. And I just love that. So close us out, Coop. What do you got?
All right. The answer to the, someone did cover Father Christmas. And okay. I started thinking about it, right? And it clicked because of this. I'm going to pick another song by this band for Christmas. But Cheap Trick covered it on their Christmas album. So they did, and it's a very different version of the Kinks version, is what I'll say.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's very good. They bring a little more of a darker spin to it, I think, even than the Kinks in a lot of ways. But the Cheap Trick did cover it. Now, Cheap Trick is my last one, and they have done a Christmas album. They've done a lot of stuff. But they also contributed something to one of the Special Olympics albums. So they basically, what they did is they took their iconic song, I Want You to Love Me, and they retooled it for Christmas. And it's called I Want You for Christmas. And it's a great take. They completely Christmasized the song, right? It's my Christmas song I've been most listening to this year. And there's a music video, which I'm going to include the link for, right? When basically they have marionettes of the members of Cheap Trick, right? And they're like hanging out in this house, and they're basically peeping Tomming on the house across the street, where there's a woman named Jenny the Elf, who's dressed in a very, very nice elf costume. She's like trimming the tree, baking cookies, and she's flirting with them. She sees them in there, right? And then kind of at the end of the video, Santa comes in and puts her on the naughty list with the Cheap Trick guys. And she's like, nice. The whole thing's over. But it's a great version. I think it's kind of a catchy version, too. So I definitely, you know, obviously I wanted to put a Cheap Trick song on that because I knew they had that. But Father Christmas, they had that as well. And then I just want to give my honorary mention. I'm not going to go into this because I mentioned it last year. Do They Know It's Christmas? To me, it's the greatest ensemble song ever done. The Band-Aid song. I always think it's the greatest ensemble ever done. The first version of it. So I know I mentioned that on last year's show, and it will always be mentioned. Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah, it's just, they've done other ones which haven't captured it quite like that original.
Nice.
Yep.
So now everybody has some great selections to play for Christmas, right? Yep. There.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yep.
And we'll have Fred's list included in there as well. So you'll be able to get Fred's list. Yeah.
So Coop, do we want to do your question or just jump into new music?
Let's just do real quick. Can we do it real quick? Okay, so we don't have to go into a lot of detail, but my question was, is there an artist that you like that hasn't really done any Christmas music that you'd like to see do music? Mm. And I had two. I had two out there, and I haven't been able to find an In Excess Christmas song, and I haven't been able to find a Tears for Fears Christmas song. And the Meadows are two artists I would have loved to have seen do it. They may be out there, but I couldn't find them.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a good one. I think Janelle Monáe doing a Christmas record would be cool. I like Janelle Monáe a lot.
Yep.
Got good funky one. I think Chris Stapleton would have a good country Christmas record because I just love his voice. And you know I love Suffering and Heartbreak Christmas song. So I think Lana Del Rey, who's done a Christmas song before, but I would like her and The National. The National would have Christmas songs full of regret, which would be the best.
Yeah.
So if those ones would be for me. You got any ears, Fred? Any bands you'd like to hear do Christmas spin?
I think I would like to see Dave Matthews do a Christmas.
That's a good one. That'll be a good one, yeah.
Yeah, to see what his spin on what it would have been.
He has one song he did on the record with Tim Rice, the it's called A Christmas Song. He's never done like a
Tim
Christmas
Reynolds.
Record.
Tim Reynolds,
yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
But yeah, that'd be great. Good jam band Christmas. That'd be nice.
Or it could fail miserably. I'm not sure how it would go.
There you go.
I'd buy it. Why not?
Why not? Yeah.
Of course.
But, you know, to wrap it up, if you're like an artist, there's no better, and we're going to get into one artist who released some Christmas music and Dave's New Music 45. You get a Christmas album out there, you can every year get sales. I mean, that's just how it goes. Yeah. It's, you know, so, you know, it's only going to get the airplay and probably played in about 1 month a year, but it will stand the test. A good Christmas album will stand the test of time.
Mm.
Yeah.
Right. So we're New Music 45 time.
Yeah, I want to mention Cigar Hustler. Cigar Hustler located in Deltona, Florida. You can go visit Mike and Greg there. They got a great shop there. And I'm anxious to get back to see those guys. If you can't get into the store, you can go to CigarHustler.com and get a great selection of a lot of great boutique cigars out there, including their own brand, Postani. And I know they just released the new War Bear, which is their own brand as well. It's a national brand, so you can get that at your favorite retailer as well. And if you can't get enough of that, go on to the A Cigar Hustlers podcast and check out Mike and Mike, which they did critique our show, Dave.
They did.
They didn't kill us. They didn't kill us, though. We didn't get killed.
No.
So these guys, Fred, they actually, every time they're on a show, they then go and critique it. Like, so it's great. And they're cool about it. It's nothing bad. But, yeah, they go. I thought Mike was going to throw us under the bus about the whole Hector and Aaron Nielsen, not knowing that they threw that drummer out of Cheap Trick.
Yeah.
Hector's like, I really like the drummer. And he's like, yeah, they kicked him out of the band. My brother replaced him.
Yeah, he's gone.
Yeah. I thought they would kill us over there. But Dave, new music, okay? And new music. I'm pretty excited about what you have this week, so why don't you kick it off?
I got a side A, a side B, and then a hidden track, which is a late edition.
Uh-huh.
So we got I'll go through pretty quick. Phoebe Bridgers, who's up for a Grammy, her new record's done really well. She actually every year does a Christmas cover, and then that money goes to a charity. And this year she covered Merle Haggard's If We Make It Through December. So we talked about the original. And like Fred said, it's very apropos of 2020, which is probably why she picked it.
Yep.
And she sort of slows it down and gives it a new vibe. So you can check that out. Side B is in honor of Will Cooper.
Oh,
Shaggy. Shaggy off of his latest Christmas record called Christmas in the Islands.
Great album, by the way. Yeah.
I chose the track Ragamuffin Christmas.
Oh, good. I just like it for the name.
Yeah. The Shaggy It's Christmas in the Islands album. Dave, is that something? Is it wrong to nominate a potential Christmas album for my album of the year? It's a really good Christmas album. It's a really good Christmas. It's a fun album. It mixes contemporary and classic, and it brings a whole different spin to Christmas music. And it's really, really a fun album. Yeah.
And the cover's like Shaggy in some chaise lounge on the beach with a drink with a pineapple in it. It's the best.
Yeah, you know Shaggy. I make no bones about it. I'm a Shaggy fan. I hope someday we're talking about him as a Hall of Famer, because I think he really deserves to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, Coop loves the Shaggy, so that was my Shaggy.
Yeah.
And the hidden track, because I didn't have time, was for the Taylor Swift record, Evermore, because it works with Christmas, because this is like my Christmas. This song, because it's Taylor Swift featuring the National on a song, and it's called Coney Island. And it's a great song. You know, it's got everything I love about it. The National and Taylor Swift. I love it. It's amazing. Buy it now. It's my recommendation.
Nice.
Yeah, and I always do a podcast for people to check out. If you like Christmas music, there's a podcast called Tinsel Tunes. That's all Christmas music and different versions of Christmas songs. So they'll take a Christmas song like, you know, like Little Drummer Boy, for example, like what you had, Fred. And they'll go through like every cover people have done of that song.
Oh, nice.
And talk about it. And it's a fun show. So Tinsel Tunes, check them out.
Very good. Very good. So I think we're at the end of the show. First, I want to really thank Fred taking your time. I know we're recording this on a Saturday night. It's your personal time. We always appreciate that. And it's always great doing a show with you. It seems like it's been forever since we've done one.
It's 2020. It's all personal time right now. I'm happy to be on the show. I appreciate you inviting me. It was great. And I got some new music tips I got to go check out too.
Yeah, same here. I got
some prime rib. You got some prime rib ready to go.
Yeah, you do. Got prime, you know, I think I mentioned it literally finished when the show started. So it's been sitting there for, you know, an hour. Yeah, it's aged now.
And then you guys, just to plug you guys, you're a co-host on Hacking Gourmet. You have your big Christmas show coming up, I guess, in a week from the 21st, right?
Yeah, we do. If anybody wants to just watch a train wreck show of people cooking stuff and having a good time, that's it. We have a great time, and we have different events where, you know, sometimes you can cook with us and order the packages. Sometimes you just watch what they're making. Both Carney and Brian McGee are kind of different styles. You know, it's always a joke to see who can get done. Carney has 700 ingredients, and McGee typically has 3. So yeah. It works out. It works out pretty good.
Yep. No, that's all.
We got to find a new TV show you can come on and talk about with Surgeon, Fred.
I was just talking about the other night, the Game of Thrones show and stuff like that. Yeah, we got to find another show. Game of Thrones one was fun to do when all the predictions and everything. I still swear Surgeon had like a line on some of the scripts or something, because he nailed a lot of predictions.
Oh, he does. I mean, I've talked Sopranos with him a lot, so I know how he is.
Yeah. He's good.
Yep. All right, close us out. We actually have one more show we're doing this year on Jukebox, and that will air a week from this show airing. Dave and I will celebrate the life of a lot of the artists who have passed away. So we're going to look at more as a celebratory thing, because there was some big names that aren't with us this year, but they left some great music behind. And I think, you know, it won't be a mourning, but it will be a celebration of what all these artists accomplished. So we'll be doing that for sure to wrap up 2020. And then, as Dave mentioned, we have our big year in review show coming up in January. Anything else, Dave?
No, that's all I got. Just thanking Fred again. It's great having you back on, Fred. It's been
absolutely
long. It's been great. I just love it.
Absolutely.
It was a blast. Thank you so much.
Oh, no, we really appreciate it as well. You're always welcome back on that. But anyway, that's going to wrap up this episode, Primetime Jukebox, episode 25, into the annals of history for December 2020. Enjoy the Christmas music, everybody, and we'll see you one more time before the end of the year. Take care, everybody.